Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection, one spine number at a time. This is episode 31, so I'm going to talk about spine number 31, and that's David Lean's 1946 film, Great Expectations. Just so you know, this is a podcast where I will spoil everything and anything, so be warned. I'm going to talk about this whole film. So let's get into it. This film opens with the reading of the book Great Expectations, kind of setting up Pip's nickname. I don't remember his real name. He's like Philip is one of his names. Forgot his last name, but they call him Pip. It's pretty much setting up that their narrator is Pip himself. I think that goes for the same for the book. It's been a long time since I read it. Only a few of these plot points stuck with me. So the first scene is the book, and then cuts to Pip visiting a grave. It ends up being, I think, both his parents, or one of his parents. He doesn't have a parent, though. I think both of them died. I'm not sure. It's pretty creepy, like the wind's blowing and you don't really know you know something bad's gonna happen. And it does. He runs into this scary chained up man, like with a scar. He tells him to like go get him food and something, just some nourishments. Pip's pretty scared. Runs home. He's in trouble. Who's taking care of him is his sister, Mrs. Joe, is what she's called. Married to Mr. Joe. He's pretty cool, but the sister's pretty mean. Pip gets whipped in this scene for a punishment, and then the Joes talk about fugitives that have gotten out, and Pip is very curious, like, what they did, who they are, because he knows one of the chained up guys is one of the fugitives. So he waits, I think the nighttime, maybe the morning, I forgot, but he does what the fugitive says. He brings some a file to cut through the chains. And some sort of cake. So while Pip is running, a really good scene. He like is looking around. He's like looks at, I don't know, the chair, and the chair's like kind of like thief. He hears like these voices saying like, "You shouldn't be doing that, Pip." And he passes some cows, and they're like, "You're not be doing the right thing. Don't do this." And I like that. It's really effective. Kind of what a child would do, his vivid imagination, and the fact that Pip has been punished so many times, he's just hears his voices saying like, "You're doing the wrong thing," even though he might be doing good, bringing this man food, which he hasn't had, even though he's a fugitive. He runs back into the man. He runs into some guy with a scar. The first guy does not have a scar, he's just bald. But this guy does. He's pretty scary. Then he runs into the guy again. He's like, "Hey, I ran into this guy with a scarred face." And the guy's like, "What? I gotta get out of here." He says, "Thanks for the food," leaves. It's lunchtime now. Cuts to lunchtime. There's a bunch of guests, and they're just judging Pip right to his face, saying he is not the young, not to his face, but saying the young are terrible. They need to learn manners, and these are just people who don't understand the young. Pip is a good kid. We know that from watching the film and what happens after. So then, for some reason, the lunch is just interrupted by, like, hey, there's fugitives out, and then Joe and Pip and one other guy decide to, like, go out with the police, but they're the only ones. I'm not sure why, except obviously for story reasons, this needs to happen. The fugitive, like, is so touched, or is just probably a genuinely good guy that he despite being a criminal, that he says, "Hey, I stole some food from a blacksmith. Are you him?" And Joe says, "Yes, I am. I'm glad you got some food at least before you have to go back. As long as it went to good use, it's fine by me." And so the prisoner sticks up for Pip so he doesn't get in trouble. Covers him pretty much. And then Joe is also nice, even though this guy's a criminal. For some reason, he says at least it went to good use and someone enjoyed themselves, ate it, and got some nourishment out of it. So it cuts to 1 year later. Pip is he's like decided to go to be hand he's like handpicked to go to this like rich house and become a gentleman, or not a gentleman, he's too young. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I assume it's not royalty, but like I can't even compare it to something from here, but just like college. It seems like when we get there, just seems like a college, and just being a better person, a little snobbier as well. But he's picked to see if he's going to be a candidate. There's this super, super weird old lady there. I forgot her name. But yeah, she's a really weird character. She is rich, it seems. Never goes out. She tells Pip, who must be 14 years old, I don't know, that before you were born is the last time I saw the sun. Lots of things are in cobwebs. Pip notices a Bible that's in cobwebs. I think that's symbolism that she's given up on life, because in those days the Bible was life. And it's just, it's never been touched because of all the cobwebs. So she's given up on life. She's got this, another teenager, a girl. Estella is her name. And she's really rude to Pip, but they still form this, this kind of crush-like relationship. They're too young to have an actual relationship. But they're always like, it's very well done, well acted, well scripted. You can tell they just have crushes on each other, but they're not gonna like admit it. Like how if a girl pushes you in the mud, she has a crush on you. Like people say that, and this is a pretty good view on that. So let's see. Oh, yeah, so he spends a while there, it seems like a few months, maybe a few years, I'm not sure. But at one point, this kid comes out and just tries to fight Pip. This kid's just, like, really, like, jumpy and just way too hyper. Pip is just standing there. He always ducks, comes up, and then punches the kid in the face. Estella thinks this is really funny, so that kid loses, Pip wins, pretty much, then he gets a kiss, he gets to kiss Estella's cheek, which is a big deal, for him. The narrator says he doesn't get to kiss her for a long, long time after that, he's pretty bummed out about it. So 3 months pass, I guess, after that, and, Joe is dead. Mrs. Joe is dead. His sister wasn't in the movie that much. Not a fun character. But Biddy comes, another maid. A maid to help him out. He has dreams of being a gentleman. That's what he says. I want to become a gentleman. This must be like a ranking, like the army, but not quite the army. Something like that. Again, it seems like college, and Biddy humors him, talks him, like, says, yeah, you could probably be one, even though it is unlikely, not as unlikely as most kids, because he is being watched by the old lady, which now he gets to push her in a chair. They form a bond, even though her story, I don't know when this comes into the actual plot, but her story is she was like left at the altar and became so depressed she just left everything as it is. There's a wedding cake that's just sitting there. She's like, the rats have gnawed at that. I don't really care. I'm just gonna leave it the way it is because why change? Why keep going if you're just gonna get hurt again? Pip is young and innocent, so he's actually falling for Estella. Estella announces she's going to go to London to become a lady, which I assume is the same as becoming a gentleman. She asks if he's upset by the news, and he says, "Yes, of course I am." And that's when he gets well, not a kiss, but he gets to kiss her again. A nice scene there. She turns her face. She's got a stonewall face, very professional when she's working for Miss H. I forgot her name, but Miss H, the old lady. But then she gets this little smile on her face and runs off. But not runs off, just turns her head so he doesn't see the smile. I like that moment. So then, yeah, 6 years pass, and Pip is becoming a blacksmith like Joe, working with Joe, until this lawyer, I think, comes in. Or I don't know if it's a lawyer, but he talks of a lawyer that says some man, someone, not a man, but it is spoilers. But someone has given you lots of money and lots of property, and they're going to give it to you when they decide to tell you. And us, the audience, it's never actually said, but us, the audience, and Pip, it is said later, but not for a long, long time, that Mrs. H, or Miss H, I guess, is the person giving him all the land and stuff. That's what we assume. So then he goes off. He gets a salary, he gets living space, he gets a roommate. That's why it seems like college. He's given a dorm room pretty much, a certain amount of money, and a roommate, who is Mr. Pocket, played by Alec Guinness, a very, very young Alec Guinness. I don't know many roles where he's this young. I love Star Wars, obviously, so Ben Kenobi, Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia, two David Lean films. He just looks so much older in those two films. I think he's in makeup in Lawrence of Arabia, but still. And then obviously Star Wars is like almost 30 years after this, so he's gonna look much, much older. But man, he is so young and charismatic. It's absolutely fantastic. We find out this film is full of coincidences, which I'm okay with. I'm not a big fan of a lot of coincidences, but this film, this story lends itself to that. This is the boy he fought all those years ago, and the boy who lost a fight to Pip, and he got a kiss from. They laugh about that. There's kind of this montage where they learn to become gentlemen. They learn how to dance. They learn how to dress. They learn all this stuff. And then I think they're in debt, but that might be later. But yeah, so this is kind of like a college thing. He kind of becomes a snob. It seems like many college students just need to discuss everything, and he needs to discuss everything. But Joe visits, his pretty much his father figure, But Joe doesn't. He hangs his hat funny. His hat keeps falling on the ground, and the two of Mr. Pocket, Alec Guinness, and Pip are just kind of like looking at each other, rolling their eyes, and Joe's just trying to give some news that Miss H wants him to come over, and then Pip kind of feels bad and says, "No, stay," and he's like, you don't want me here." So he kind of becomes kind of a snob, kind of a jerk. At this point, a know-it-all, I guess. On his way back to his town, he's thinking of like, well, I should stay with Joe and Biddy, but then he could convince, like, we hear a voiceover, not the same voiceover, but like him thinking about how he should, I'm going to stay with Miss H. Obviously, I can't, I'm sorry if he runs into him. He's like making the conversation pretty much, pretty sad actually. But when he gets there, he finds that, Estella is visiting Miss H and, wanted to see Pip. There's an Estella montage, I guess. They basically do everything they did in the teaching montage. They know they go dancing. And then their narration says, she was happy to be with me, I was happy to be with her, but unfortunately he says, she's too pretty, and everyone was trying to have a relationship with her. So he gets pretty jealous. I think she goes off and marries someone else. That really bums him out. And then again, this movie is full of coincidences and just stuff that wouldn't happen in real life. But again, the story lends it to itself. The convict from earlier, from the beginning of the film, visits, and this freaks Pip out. He's like, "What are you doing here? Are you here to kill me?" He has money. Slowly, we figure out, and Pip figures out, this is the guy who's leaving him all the fortune and property. He's kind of disappointed by this. He's upset. It's Miss H, kind of disappointed it's a criminal. So he goes there, and the weirdest scene in the movie happens. He pretty much tells off Miss H, like, "Why did you lead me on? What, like, do you even like me? You stink," is what he says in paraphrasing it. And then he leaves, slams the door, something falls into the fire, then rolls onto her dress, and she bursts into flames. And here's her, like, crying for help. Just thinks she's crying because he just yelled at her walking away. Then he hears, like, just continuous scream of pain. He runs in and tries to save her. He hurts his hands in this process. She's gone, though. She dies. It's a really strange, sad, just odd scene in general. Just like, it works within the film, but it's so out of character of the film. But like, something big needs to happen to this snobby, pretentious dude, for him to learn how life really works, I guess. Pip gets info that the convict, like, his daughter is Estella. Like, that's crazy. That one's a little out there for me. Sure, I go with everything else, but really, all that works out? I don't know. So they take the convict. Oh, I don't know if that's after, but the scar guy, the guy with the scar at the beginning, is like looking for him. They try, him and Pocket try to get him on this boat. He like sneak him on the boat as a captain, dress him up as a captain. He gets caught by the scar guy. The scar guy, him, the convict, and the guy with the scar like fight it out, and then he gets taken away. He gets, for his crimes, he gets sent to death. Throughout the movie, we like see these prizes that this judge guy has. And he like keeps their faces, and this is people that have been hung. It's really weird. Like, why would you keep that? It really freaks me out. So yeah, that's when he finds out Estella is the convict's daughter. He, for some reason, he becomes like ill, probably from too much stress or like that, because he just saw a woman he grew up with die, burst into flames. This convict guy who's leaving him all, who like made him this very fortunate man, is going to be put to death. And then he, just too much happens, he like passes out, wakes up at Joe's house. He says, "You're here, we're gonna take care of you." He kind of realized, it's kind of like, oh, my parents have always taken care of me, even though these two are not his actual parents. These are his guardians, and have always been there for him, Biddy and Joe, that is. And it kind of, like, these guys are cool. They talk of marriage and love and just memories in general, I guess. And he says, "I don't know about marriage. I love Estella. She's with someone else." He goes to Miss H's house, and Estella's there, sitting like Miss H, and he kind of sees a Bible on the thing that he saw earlier. No cobwebs yet, but he's like, "There are going to be cobwebs there." He's like, "What happened?" She's like, "Oh, the man I married found out that I was a daughter of a convict, of a fugitive, and he dumped me." So she's going to live the same life as Miss H, and Pip's like, "No, you can't do that. The sun is out." He rips like carpets down from the, that are being hung from the ceiling, that like have been blocking the sun this whole time. He's like, "Look at the sun," and convinces her to get up and live life again. And then they run off together, and the movie ends. Yeah. So let's get into some themes of the film. Didn't see a lot this time around. Didn't get a lot out of this movie, sadly. One of them, it's kind of like you got to keep moving on in life. You can't stop when someone dies, or you lose a friend, or something bad happens. Mrs. H just paused her life and never pressed play again. She just froze and then let everything decay around her because she just didn't care. And Estella was about to do the same thing until Pip brought out the sunshine. Even though Pip was in a pretty dark place, he just passed out. He lost his convict friend. Estella wasn't there. He had that heartbreak, not knowing his mom or dad, or having a mean sister. Just not the greatest life. Even with the privilege he got of becoming a gentleman, he didn't love it, but he had to, with seeing what Estella was going to become, he had to change himself and her, because they knew they loved each other, and they just had to keep, they had to press play again and continue living life and enjoying it to their fullest ability. Lots of coincidences. That's a lot of fun. Again, I didn't see a lot of themes. Please email me if you see any themes. DarrenCriterion14@gmail.com. That's Darin Criterion, number one, number four, at yahoo.com. But yeah, I would love to hear anything you got out of this film. That brings me to the conclusion, what I thought about it. Not the biggest fan. I liked it. I find these days I like most movies. I liked Nonstop with the Liam Neeson movie. I like that movie. I don't love it, but I like it. So I find I like most movies. I like this movie. I enjoyed watching my, or I enjoyed myself while watching it, which is probably, I love movies, so why not enjoy myself every time I watch a movie? But yeah, it didn't do a lot for me. Alec Guinness is absolutely fantastic. I forgot who played Pip as an adult. The kid's great too, but yeah, Pip as an adult is really great. The convict's really scary. I love like when the convict is around, like wind, and it's almost like stormy, like when he walks in, the lightning would strike if it was a little more cheesier. But every time he's around, there's a sense of danger. But yeah, and then I liked the character Miss H again, forgot her name, but that's just a real interesting character, someone who has clearly given up on life, and as a kid he didn't really understand that she did, and then he grew up to find out at the very end what how she felt. He kind of sympathized with her, but had to grow up more than she could. Because that's not a life worth living, he thought. So he brought in some light into his life and Estella's. I like those stuff. That stuff. Yeah, not my favorite for sure. Don't hate it. I think I only hated about three. I can only think of two: Samurai 2, and Blood for Dracula. And Solo was just hard to watch, but the themes are pretty good. Yeah, but this one's, yeah, definitely low. Oh, I don't like Sid and Nancy. I think I've concluded that. It's not a very good film. Don't really respond to it. But yeah, this one's just one of those lower, if I had to rank, if I'm ranking the whole thing, which I am on Letterboxd. You can type in Darren Skaggs, DarrenSkaggs on Letterboxd. That place is a lot of fun. I'm ranking all of them. It's pretty low, probably bottom 10 out of 31. Yeah. So I guess next time, Oliver Twist by David Lean. Hopefully that's a little more, I don't know, a little more for me. It's probably not though, because it made 2 years after this, and it's pretty much, it's a Dickens, it's another Dickens adaptation. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got to say. Again, email me at DarrenCriterion14@yahoo.com. That's Darin Criterion, number one, number four, at yahoo.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, just want to talk any of the films that I've talked about so far, tell me which films you're excited for. I would love to hear that. I'm excited for a few coming up, actually. Some I've never seen, one I've seen, and I'm not excited to watch it again, but I will for you guys. Follow me on Twitter at The Criterionist. Listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds. I co-host that with my friend Andrew. We talk about movies, music, TV. This week we talked about five songs, or 10 really, we like by bands we don't. That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of things to say on that episode. Surprisingly, a lot of things to say. Also, it was a real enjoyable thing to record, so please go listen to that. Rosebuds being one word. Find that on iTunes. You can find this on iTunes. Leave us a review. Both my podcasts, Rosebuds and The Criterionist. I love a positive review on iTunes. That would help me out a lot. And yeah, I think that's it. Movie review blog I write, schmuckforlife.blogspot.com, schmuck for life. And yeah, I think that's all I do. Thanks for listening. I'll see you later. Bye.